Well, like a lot of you probably, I grew up praying as a kid and a young person, mostly asking God for what I want, right? Lots of I want this, I want that, you do this, you do that, and so forth. And knowing that there were some things that were beyond my capability and would require God to show up, that's not a bad thing. You know, sometimes I'd ask for provision or rescue or guidance or help. And I think it requires a certain humility to be able to even see that, right? To just be able to know, I need some power beyond myself. That's a good posture to cultivate in our lives, for sure. And the Bible asks, it encourages over and over to bring our petitions to God. That's what we call that kind of prayer, petitionary prayer. I'm going to ask God for things or to do things or whatever. As I got a little older, I began to realize there was another kind of prayer because I don't just have wants. God has wants. God has things he wants for me. He wants in my life. And as I would get clear about some of those things God wanted for me, I began to discover what we might call a prayer of surrender, which is where I'm surrendering my wants and asking for what God wants. And that's a beautiful kind of prayer as well. But there's another way of praying that I don't know that I even quite grasped until maybe the last 10 or 20 years. But it's a way of thinking about prayer that wraps up petitions and surrender, but puts it in a much bigger package. And it is really compelling to my heart and to my spirit, and it's such good news. And I want to share that way of thinking about prayer with you today. Here's the good news that I'm proclaiming. Prayer is how we participate in the life and activity of God, who is, Kara, always present and at work in and around us. We are changed as we surrender to God in prayer. But prayer is also how God shares God's power with us to change what happens in our world. God acts in response to our prayers because God delights to involve us in the work. Now, I'm going to repeat that a few times, so you're going to be able to get your head wrapped around all that's in there. It's quite a bit to say, I suppose. But ultimately, what I'm trying to get us clear about is this. Prayer isn't just petition, God, I want this. Prayer isn't just surrender, God, I want what you want. Prayer is participation. Prayer is participation in the life and activity of God in this world. I'm going to give quick credit to my friend Ben Sternke, who's one of the writers of our Get Real group books, by the way, for this language, this way of seeing these kinds of prayers. It's been very helpful to clarify something that I've intuited for a while, but I'm not sure I had the language to fully be able to explain it to somebody else. We are getting ready to jump into the Sermon on the Mount again. By the way, today starts, I think, our second year of being in this sermon. That is kind of crazy, but we've covered a lot of ground, and today we're going to jump in for a few weeks now on the most familiar part of the sermon. Even more famous than the Beatitudes is this piece, what we often call the Lord's Prayer, or maybe you grew up in a tradition that calls it the Our Father. Many of us know it by heart, and in this prayer, there's some petition, and in this prayer, there's some surrender. But I hope as I kind of set it up, and we're going to walk through it for the next few weeks and dig in more deeply, but today I want to give you some fresh eyes to see that the prayer is an invitation to participate in the life and activity of God. Where God is present and at work, we get in on that. And that's what this prayer is really about. Richard Rohr writes, God allows us to matter and our prayers to matter. Let's sit with that for a second. God allows us to matter. He allows our prayers to matter. Here's how Jesus sets the subject up. Remember, he's preaching to a bunch of people, what we've now called the Sermon on the Mount, and he says in the second chapter, it's really three chapters of Matthew, 5, 6, and 7. We've covered 5. We're in chapter 6. We'll finish it by the end of this year. And he says, when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. In other words, you're not trying to convince him of something he doesn't already know. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm just going to deal with that little piece of the prayer. I'm going to help us get clear, I hope, about what Jesus is doing here. And the first thing I want to be clear about is that the Lord's Prayer is a framework for a family prayer. Let me talk about that for a moment. Jesus says, first off, this then is how you should pray. He did not say, this then is what you should pray. In other words, we don't have to pray those identical words, although there's nothing wrong with them. We pray them together frequently as the family of God. We're going to pray them together before we leave today and probably several times over the next few weeks. But here's something we established last September when we started this whole adventure in the Sermon on the Mount. We said, let's understand Jesus isn't giving us a prescription for our behavior as much as he's giving us a description. This is what life looks like in my kingdom of love. And that's a significant difference. He's showing us what it will be like when we become human again, when everyone always acts in love, the way the Father always intended humanity to work. And becoming happens when we choose to practice a new way of being. Let me say that again. Becoming, transformation, happens when I practice a new way of being in the world. We're talking a lot about these 10 practices for becoming over here. The becoming doesn't happen unless we're doing the practices, those ways of life that Jesus describes so beautifully in this sermon. So think about the sermon, first of all, as a framework. This is a framework for how you might pray about the kinds of things that the Father invites his people to pray about. Because prayer is how we participate in the life and activity of a God who is always present and at work in us and around us. We're changed as we surrender to God in prayer, but prayer is also how God shares his power with us to change what happens in our world. God, listen to me, God acts in response to our prayers because God delights to involve us in the work. This is such a really important idea. It's a framework for how to pray. And it's for a family prayer. Look at it again. Jesus prays, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He did not say, my Father in heaven. In fact, in his book, What If Jesus Was Serious, that we've been looking at several times in this series, Guy Gattani uses this graphic. I think, do we have the graphic? Yeah. He uses this graphic to illustrate the difference because not one time in this prayer do we see I, me, or my show up. No personal pronouns, okay? So in our country especially, we are individualists, right? We are the rugged individualists. It's about me and my freedom and my rights and so forth. That's just sort of endemic to the American story. So if we're not careful, we'll take our little American story and put that on the Jesus story, and we'll start to think this is all about me and my Father in heaven and those sorts of things. When Jesus specifically gives us a prayer, if we want to look at it in the Christian way, the Christ-centered way, it's a we prayer, not a me prayer. And that's a pretty important thing for us to remember. Again, Gattani, he says, Christian prayer, even when done alone, is never really a private activity. We are forever connected to one another. God intended it to be that way. This is my heart joining with your heart, joining with your heart, joining with the hearts of millions and billions of people of all generations and tribes and nations around the whole country, around the whole world, and across all of time. Our hearts are joined together when we pray. It is a family prayer. And as we pray, it is for sure prayer changes us. You've heard that, right? That's certainly one thing that happens here. Sometimes prayer is how I let go of what I think I need and want, and I allow God to do what he wants instead. I am God's co-worker. You are God's co-worker. And sometimes I need prayer to bring my say-so into line with God's say-so. Because sometimes my say-so is calling the shots, not God's say-so. And prayer helps make the difference in that gap. The degree to which my say-so becomes God's say-so, that's when things start to happen in my life and in this world. I'm gonna jump on a little pet peeve of mine for a couple of moments, because I talk with many of you about this over and over. Many of you have had your eyes sort of light up and go, oh, that's a good way of thinking about that. And so let me just have a couple of moments, if you would humor me, because this is one of the biggest misconceptions about God and how he's present at work that I think any of us ever deal with. And it's so deeply ingrained somehow in Christian consciousness that even when your own experience tells you that's not actually how it works, we still think it does because we have this little code word in our mind. And here's what it is. Many of us have heard this. God is in control. Anybody ever heard that? God's in control. God is not in control. I'm going to say it again. God is not in control. Your own life experience shows you that God is not always in control. All kinds of horrible things are happening on the world in this moment that God's not necessarily in control of. Before you like jump up and run out, let me give you a better word. God is in charge. God is in charge. But he's not in control. He's not micromanaging every detail of your life or of this world. Listen to me. If God is love, God has to always move in love, and love always requires a say-so. We have to choose to opt into what God is up to. Or it's not love. If God's just pulling a puppet string somewhere and we're just going along for the ride, telling ourselves that we're actually have some agency and we're involved in some way, but we're really not. God's just doing all of it. He's in charge. He's not in control. There's a big difference. I'll put it like this. Hang tight for this one. I'll say it at least twice. God chooses to give away some real say-so along the way, which means he may not always get his way right away, even though he'll get us all the way some way. At least twice I said, right? Here we go. God chooses to give away some real say-so along the way, which means he may not always get his way right away, even though he will get us all the way some way. Because he's in charge. But he lets you have a lot of control. He's not responsible for all the choices that you make or I make, right? I think about a loving parent at the helm of a family road trip where you let the kids make choices along the way, like which restaurant are we going to eat at tonight, kids? McDonald's. Yeah, there you go. Precisely my point, actually. So if your kids get to decide, do we stop at the world's biggest ball of yarn or do we keep going to that next thing that's more interesting to mom and dad or whatever that is, if you're a mom and dad and you're shepherding the road trip and we're on a destination and you give your kids some say-so along the way, they may not always pick the things you wish they would pick, right? They may not always pick the food, the restaurant, the pit stop or whatever. If you're letting them help define the journey and the adventure doesn't mean they're in control. You're still the one in charge. You're still the one who has to get everybody where we're supposed to get when the road trip is over, but you are willingly giving them some control of what that road trip will be like along the way. You don't have to say this, okay, if you feel like, oh, is lightning going to strike? I saw this week that Fredericton's a lightning strike capital of the world. I don't want to help out that statistic, okay? So if you don't want to say that, this is okay. But if you do, it might be good practice because I have to practice this with many of you a lot of the time to push back against wherever this came up from. I have no idea. Well, I have some ideas, but we won't go there. But just say this out loud once or twice. God is not in control. God is not in control. God is in charge. God is in charge. By the way, I said that was a pet peeve. I just wanted to be totally honest with you. I have made it my life's mission to help as many Christians as possible get clear about what the difference is between a good father who's in control versus a good father who's in charge and lets his children have a lot of control for good, bad, and ugly. A lot of things are happening in this world right now that God has given us agency over, but he is not giving up getting us to the destination. We will get to the destination some way, the way God wants us to get there. See, here's the thing. Listen to me. God wants a relationship with you. And in a relationship, you need agency for that relationship to be about love and not about control or manipulation. You have to have a say-so. We talk in every wedding we do, pretty much. We have the three C's. And some of you could probably recite them by memory, but one of them is communication. You know why? Because every healthy relationship has to have good communication. If that's true, do you think maybe it's God who hardwired that into the cosmos? That for relationships to be healthy and not toxic, we have to have communication. And by the way, that works with him too. We get to talk to God in prayer. Isn't that beautiful? God invites us to commune with him. Because prayer is how we participate in the life and activity of God who's always present and at work in us and around us. I'm changed, you're changed when we surrender to God in prayer. But prayer, my friends, is also how God shares his power with us to change what happens in our world. God acts in response to our prayers. Why? Because God delights to let his children in on the work. We're really part of what he's doing. Now, prayer as participation doesn't just change us. I've already said it very straightforwardly in the good news today. Prayer changes the world around us. Let's talk about that. I surrender, I'm changed, but I'm also invited. Brian, you want to be one of my change agents in the world? You want to join up with me in what I'm doing? And God shares with me and with you real power to truly and really affect what happens in the world. Otherwise, why would we ever pray a petition to God, right? If we don't believe it's actually going to change anything. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. God is not your personal genie in a bottle with whom you get to cast your three wishes or whatever. But Jesus is also not joking when he says to his disciples, when you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. And over, we look at the story in the New Testament, the book of Acts especially, and we see God's, the first followers of this way of Jesus, they pray about something and something shifts, something changes. Somebody gets out of prison. Somebody who's dead comes back to life. Amazing things actually happen because prayer is participation. And as I participate, the good work of God unfolds in my life, in me and around me, because God is present and God is at work, and I get to be part of what he's doing to bring his goodness into the world in real time. That is amazing. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jatani again says, rather than praying to escape the earth for heaven, Jesus tells us to pray for God's kingdom to arrive on earth from heaven. One of the little hymns we sang growing up, some of you will know this one, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Funny, that's not in the prayer. In fact, Jesus never talks like that. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. In fact, that might even be perceived as a little dismissive toward the world when Jesus says, pray for my kingdom to come and my will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. What if we were to long for our world to experience the full beauty of God's goodness and truth and love? What if instead of indulging in some fantasy escape mechanism, we were to say, every single day with all of our hearts, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what if we prayed to surrender our wills and say so to his will and say so, so his dream could come true? To say, I will be a servant of your kingdom. How can I help? Rohr says, what it means to live in the reign of God, don't bypass this too quickly, is to live in the final state of affairs now. Your kingdom, come. Your will be done now. Whatever it's like to live in the kingdom of love, I don't want to wait for that to happen someday. I want to see as much of that happen today. Amen? God is always present and at work in here, out there. I don't really control any of that at the end of the day, I suppose. But I am invited into the flow of it. And Jesus says, here's how I want you to pray so you can live this way. Prayer is how we participate in the life and activity of God who's always present and at work in us and around us. We're changed as we surrender to God in prayer. But prayer is also how God shares his power with us to change what happens in the world. God really acts in response to our prayers because God delights to involve his kids in the work. And that, friends, is good news. One of my favorite times to pray in the summer, which is probably over now, is early morning in our pool. Our pool is very cold right now. But when it's not very cold, and I'm out doing my early morning stuff around the house and watering flowers and all that sort of thing, I love to jump in and take a quick dip. And as the world's waking up and it's turning light, I love to be in the pool for some reason, and I often pray the Lord's Prayer. We live in a bunch of pine trees, and I especially love when it's when the sky turns into that deep blue color. Have you ever noticed when you look at a bunch of pine needles next to the bright blue sky, it's like the green is glowing? If you haven't done that before, do it sometime. It's like, what? It's like every little pine needle looks like it has a little light around it, you know? And I'll just sit there in that pool, and I'll look at that beauty, and I will remember that I'm caught up in a reality that's way bigger than me, and it's way bigger than my backyard. And when I pray this prayer, I'm joining with God's family, millions and billions across all of time and across the globe, joining my hearts with theirs, surrendering my will like theirs, each of us longing for the day when God's kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How about you? Have you been partnering with God to the extent that he wants to partner with you? That's a good question. Have you been partnering with God in prayer to the extent that he wants to partner with you? What if we just leave today a little in awe of that? God is inviting me to partner with him in his kingdom come, and he says my prayers will make a real difference in how that kingdom goodness plays out in our world, because God delights for me to get involved in his work. So we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together before we go. Roar reminds us, beginning with the first word, our, we are taught that we are social beings, that our relationship with God is not mine or private. We either come to God together or we don't come at all. When you pray our Father today, when you pray the word us in this prayer, I want you to remember, you're praying with all your sisters and brothers in this room. You're praying with our sisters and brothers who are joining us online today. You're praying with millions of sisters and brothers around the globe on this Lord's Day and across history, because we share the same Father in heaven. And our communion with him cannot be separated from our communion with each other. My relationship with God is personal. It is not private. This is my family. Amen. So would you pray with me? We'll bring the words up on the screen because some of us have learned different versions. Some of us have the thee and thou version. Some of us have other versions. You pray whatever prayer you want because we're praying it together. But if you need a little help, we'll use this one as well. Could we pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Prayer is how we participate in the life and activity of a God who's always present at work in and around us. We're changed as we surrender to God in prayer. But prayer is also how God shares his power with us to change what happens in the world. God acts in response to our prayers because he delights when his kids get involved in the work. And that, friends, is good news about prayer. In the next few weeks, we'll dig into more of what he says about each one of these components and why that part of the component might be in the framework of this prayer. Speaking of prayer, grab a card off the orange door as you leave. And one other thing today, I know sometimes I talk to people who say, I don't have anyone to pray for me, or I need prayer right now, Or maybe you came here today with a heavy burden in some way. I don't know. But I'm going to ask a couple of our gals who would love to pray with you, Ursula and Rachel, would you guys go ahead and come on up front? I just asked them if they would hang around up here at the front of the room after we dismiss in a moment. And if you think, I'd just love to have somebody pray with me right now before I leave here, you don't have to tell them what it is, or you can. That's up to you. You could just say, would you pray with me before you go? My name is whatever, if they don't already know your name, you know? Share as much or as little as you like. Stay as little or as long as you would like. They're here to serve you. Because sometimes you need somebody else in the family to help you pray. Amen? And if you're not sure who that might be, or you don't have time to get to that person, or if just the Holy Spirit's prompting you in your spirit just to say, I want prayer today, right now. We're going to dismiss. We're going to do our thing. It'll be noisy in here, and that's okay. You come and let Ursula or Rachel pray with you. They'd love to do that. Okay? Would you stand to your feet? All right. This is pretty cool. We're going to go out there. We're going to get ourselves involved in what God's up to in this world. We're going to pray this week. Amen? You're going to pray this week? Amen. If you don't know anything else to pray, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, right? Just start with that. That's a great place to start. And let's see what God does through his people as we join him in the work, because he is present and he is at work. And that's really good news. You're dismissed. We'll see you next Sunday.